Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we're learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Small Business Storytellers. This is an exciting episode because we're sitting down virtually with Zed and Catherine Brooks with Backyard Tap. And I'm excited to hear from them as a local restaurant here in Northern Colorado, because obviously their life has looked very different for the last month or two. And so we want to dive into that story as we're in the middle of the season about what do businesses do in times of crisis. Usually you don't predict crisis. Sometimes you can prepare for it, but sometimes it just hits you. So Zed, Catherine, thank you guys so much for joining us today. And give our listeners a little bit of context for who you guys are and what you guys do.
So cool, man. I appreciate you having us again, Seth, and allowing us to talk a little bit about Backyard Tap. We're located in downtown Loveland. And Catherine and I got together back in 2017 after visiting some different locations, trying to find what our impact wanted to be from a social impact perspective, as well as, you know, being our own startup with entrepreneurs, and came up with the idea of Backyard Tap as a social gathering location. Spent some time finding property and found a unique location in downtown Loveland as a emerging, turn around local area with a nice vibrant downtown area with an artsy feel, and said, hey, let's bring together this location with this idea of the concept of a tap room where you have a good selection of craft beverages, both that of wine, beer, ciders, and obviously non-alcoholic beverages as well, like kombucha, those types of things. And then let's intersect that with some of our local food vendors that we have around as well, with food trucks. The model came about as from my background, growing up in areas back in Illinois, and spent time with family at, you know, block parties, family cookouts, family reunions, doing some traveling abroad and traveling here domestically and visiting outdoor venues where, you know, you see people sitting outside, you know, and having a true sense of connection. And so we got to thinking about how that, along with our background experiences, you know, would be a nice, good introduction here in Northern Colorado, where there's something to be said, you know, when someone sits down, have a beverage, have a meal, and how that allows them to have that sense of vulnerability and deepen the human connection a little bit more. Meaning that, you know, we could all come from all walks of life, you know, and invite new folks into our lives as friends and family. And then, but how do we deepen that connection more, you know, open the craft beverage and craft food? So the idea came about and bringing in the food trucks and things. And soon there we had to pivot a little bit with that. But we have some great, good craft vendors from the beverage side as well as the food truck side here in Northern Colorado that we've had opportunity to work with the last 8.5 months. And, you know, doing everything from hosting events at Backyard Tap to live music to you know, some pop-up boutiques with vendors as well, some everything, launch parties, nonprofit events, six things. We've had an opportunity to do a lot of different things. We have a good team that supports us, and had a good opportunity the first 8.5 months here to see what it's like to bring that sense of deep human connection, you know, over a good beverage and meal.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And so I'm curious to dive in a little bit to some of your inspiration behind this, because I mean, the concept of me going and getting a beer and listening to music outside is not anything new, especially for Northern Colorado, but it sounds like you guys are wanting to do a lot more than that. And you specifically mentioned traveling and having some exposure to different cuisine and different communities and different places that you kind of wanted to bring some of that here. So I'd love to know, what are some of the places or some, you know, maybe it's a restaurant or maybe it's a community or a culture. What are some of the places that have been inspiration for you that you've said, we want to bring a little piece of this into our community here?
All right. Well, we've had opportunity, you know, it's a growing up, you know, Kathy grew up in central Illinois area in a town where they had festivals and gatherings in the town. I grew up in the outside Chicago area, and, you know, we did a lot of block parties when growing up with my grandparents, and people did a lot of volunteer things with those parties, and then seeing that gathering come together and how people can actually celebrate and have fun, again, over beverage and food. And then I had opportunity as part of my MBA program, traveling abroad to Southeast Asia, and spending some time eating different types of street food, meeting different types of people along with my core classmates. And what was really neat is being able to sit on the street in Yangon, Myanmar, with some of your core classmates, meet some total different strangers from the local area in Yangon, Myanmar there. And again, connect over something, you know, just having a Myanmar beer and talking about family and friends and our different backgrounds and growing up. And that was very neat to me in that experience, because here I am, worlds away, first time in Southeast Asia, and being able to have an opportunity to feel welcome as a visitor, as well as, you know, again, connecting with people that I would never had the opportunity and be blessed to meet, just all over food and beverage. And that was really, really neat. Here locally, we came back after that trip, and, you know, Kathy and I had opportunity to visit a similar concept down in Boulder called Rayback Collective, and again, get an opportunity to meet Hank and his group there and seeing what great things his team are doing there with, you know, some of the similar things of, you know, connection, venue, beverage, food, and seeing that great experience. Like, wow, man, you know, we've been living in Northern Colorado here for 8 years, and, you know, nothing has come about like this. So let's get an opportunity to see if we can, you know, help with putting another venue, a platform out there. And, you know, we selected Loveland, you know, with this location in this community, and have some great times with it thus far.
I got to ask, do you guys have any, like, just favorite foods or foods from your travels or from different parts in the country that you're like, man, I can't get enough of this?
I mean, we're from Chicago, really? So a deep dish pizza and an Italian beef are always going to be on top.
Love it.
That's the inspiration there. Even when we were in Kauai, what was that, 17, I think it was, we were there, and ran across a pop-up vendor, outdoor vendor market on the corner with three food vendors. And I mean, it was, you know, roosters and chickens running around as well. But just getting an opportunity to eat some of that food locally there. And I believe we had a barbecue dish there that was unique. And I was like, man, this is, you know, this lady just made this, you know, as her own thing, her artistic craft ability. And being able to eat, you know, different types of foods, you know, yes, it provides some inspiration behind wanting to do, you know, create an opportunity and a concept like this. But like Captain said, deep dish pizza, you know, it's always a good thing from being from Chicago area.
Yeah.
But we also like a barbecue too. So
that's awesome. I love that. Were you guys in the restaurant industry before you started this 8 months ago?
No, not at all, man. Not at all. Different.
What was your background in?
I'm an attorney and I still work as an attorney, and Zed's background was in commercial construction project management.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Those are pretty different things. Indeed. And when we met Zed, it was at Fort Collins Startup Week, which was, I want to say the third week of February or something. At the time we were all like focused on, you know, meeting new people, figuring out new ways to grow our business and stuff. I don't think any of us would have imagined that 2 weeks later that almost every business in town would have been shut down by the coronavirus. Like, I was just very, at the time, that was something that was happening in another part of the world. Maybe we should have been more aware of it at that time, but who knows? So what did, like, talk to us about just how this has kind of unfolded for you guys. I mean, especially just being less than a year old, like, how has this kind of crisis that's impacting the whole world, really, how has it impacted you guys, and how have you been navigating it?
Yeah, we, I mean, it took us by surprise, as it took everyone by surprise, obviously. And being a business, you know, that is built on being together in close quarters with people and enjoying that time, it's definitely hard on us. We took the initial part of it and kind of decided that we weighed kind of what can we do during this time. You know, liquor laws had been relaxed a slight bit, allowing us to do off-premise beverages, but we chose that and felt like it was a better and bigger thing for us to just close. And in that respect, we're doing it because of the safety of our employees, safety of our patrons. We felt it wasn't vital for us to be open right now. And in fact, it was probably better if we were closed. It's made it obviously harder for us being within the first year of our business. You know, it's already hard being in your first year and then you close for an unknown period of time. But we felt like it was kind of our social responsibility right now to do that. And that was our decision very early on.
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's the next steps as it relates to the orders that they have been placed on all the non-essential and essential businesses here in Colorado, both from the state level as well as the local county and city level. So we're trying to just navigate those waters and see what the next steps would be. We're all looking to April 26th here, but the question is, what does that mean? You know, I even reached out to the Larimer County earlier this week, just with an email through that general forum, just to inquire, you know, what are going to be the allowable steps for especially those non-essential businesses, because our essential businesses have been doing a great job keeping us all afloat with food and the grocery store workers, healthcare workers. But, you know, what does it look like for the non-essential businesses as it relates to some of these stay-at-home orders, and will there be new guidelines that we have to adhere to?
Yeah, and have you heard anything about that, or are people talking about that, or is it still just lots of questions?
Lots of questions still. Been checking every day, both websites, the Larimer County website, City of Loveland's, as well as the State of Colorado's website as well, trying to stay tuned to what's, you know, what's going on in the news when the governor speaks as well. Just trying to keep our ear abreast, and so we can be ready to go when that opportunity is given. But also, Kath and I have been working during this time period, just figuring out, you know, how do we ramp into that next phase, and what does it look like based on whatever guidelines that are put in place to us.
Yeah, and I'm curious to what that process is like. What you guys are thinking about that? Because I mean, I was talking with somebody yesterday. I mean, we're one of the companies I do marketing work for, they're in the oil and gas industry, and which the oil industry was taking a huge hit before this started. Like they had a huge drop in mid-February that was semi-related, but pretty much unrelated to coronavirus. And so, I mean, they're at historical lows, and historically it takes a couple of years for the oil industry to really get back. And we were just talking about, even if everything's lifted, I'd be surprised if people are traveling with the same level of frequency until there's a vaccine. And until, so I mean, you're potentially looking at, you know, we're recording this in April of 2020, potentially looking at, I mean, at a speedy rate, early 2021, before there's really like a widespread vaccine. So how have you guys been navigating it? What are some of your ideas or like thoughts of what, you know, let's say, everything goes well in the next couple of weeks and it's safe for you guys to open end of April, early May. And what is that? Do you guys have any ideas of what that might look like and what you're preparing for the next couple of months?
Yeah, we have taken some time to do some initial thinking on how the business itself will look if you're a customer coming in. You know, like we said, right now we have a small indoor space. We have a very large outdoor space for downtown Loveland. And so we've already talked about, let's take some tables out of the inside to give people more space if they're inside. Let's kind of push people to the outside where we have a lot of space to spread out so you can be there and enjoy your time and also socially distance appropriately. We even talked as little as let's put some tape on the floor to give people their 6-foot difference if, you know, if they're standing in line. Let's also talk a little bit about the app that we have for our point of sale system and kind of push people towards get on the app. You know, you can do all of the payment on the app and you don't have to give us a card and we don't have to exchange money. All these things to kind of help keep them safe and us safe and do what we can to allow people to enjoy their time without being fearful of potentially being exposed.
Yeah. And that's, it's, I think it's going to be really important for businesses to communicate as all of this is rolling out. And, you know, I kind of doubt that it'll happen in this way, but say, you know, say the governor just says, okay, everybody can be open. I think there's probably going to be some kind of rollout, but if everybody's all of a sudden open, I think there's going to be a lot of people that just expect things back to normal, or a lot of business owners. And so I think that if me and my wife decide we want to go out for a drink and, you know, we're thinking about going to a few different places, the one that's communicating that even though this isn't over yet, that they're still taking social distancing measures and they're putting some precautionary things in place so that we can still enjoy it, those people are going to win out over the others that just are saying like, yeah, just come in like old times. So it's going to be really interesting to see how businesses communicate the changes that they make as this kind of rolls out. So I hope that you guys can open as soon as possible. And who knows how people are going to respond.
Yeah, everything's up in the air right now. 100% agree with you. It's reciprocating that communication that we get from, you know, the guidelines that are given, implementing the plan, and then being able to communicate that to our patrons and our staff as well. And that's we totally agree with you. That's what's been important. And that's what's been as a part of our, you know, our background thinking here the last 3.5 weeks now.
Tell me, how's this been on a little bit more of an emotional level as just business owners? Like, I mean, we put a lot into our business. And so how has it been kind of more personally as to like, you know, this is a big challenge to hit in your first year. And what kind of toll has that taken on you? And how are you kind of responding to that?
You know, after the initial shock, after the first couple of days, you know, after the orders and things that went down, it was more of a trying to shift the mindset to say, okay, let's look at this from a different lens as an opportunity to do a reset, both personally as well as for the business. So there has been some opportunity from the business perspective, thinking about, we have this huge calendar we developed with our team for 2020. How do we modify it as it relates to, you know, the guidelines around protecting everyone's health from a social responsibility perspective? What are those new things and those things we've already been doing that we have to step up on a little bit more to make sure that we provide that a quality guest experience when we do have the opportunity? Then we think about personally, you know, juggling the existing costs that continue to happen, and the impact it has not only to, you know, us as owners, but also to our team of staff that we have. We have a small staff, but they're vital to what we do and how we operate and how we provide that experience, I guess. So, you know, for us, it's being in that first year, it has been, you know, quite stressful these first 3.5 weeks here. Also, you know, maintained a lot of faith and optimism as relates to how we feel we have a good group of team members and as well as a good group of support, both here locally as well as abroad, that want to support us at all times. We have a lot of our regular guests that come and visit with us have been reaching out, inquiring on ways that they can support us, you know, either via online purchases or, you know, just stop by to say, you know, hey, thinking about you, that type of thing. We've been reciprocating as well, because you don't get to do a lot of things in life without your community. And it can be, you know, your personal or your local professional community. So just trying to figure things out, you know, how we continue to manage costs, you know, where we are. And because, you know, the bills don't stop, as all of us know, you know, from a utility perspective, you know, rent and insurance, those types of things. You got to maintain those types of things. But looking at it as a way to say, how do we do both a reset for the business as well as a reset for us personally, you know, do some things around with our family. We have 2 small kids, and, you know, obviously with the remote learning and, you know, spending more time with them and trying to juggle work activities as well as the remote learning, it's allowed a lot more togetherness.
Yeah.
You mentioned right before we hit record that this interview would be a good break from homeschooling.
Yeah, so it's
a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I think we're going through everything that everyone's going through, right? With whatever situation you're in. Some days you're like, okay, we're going to make it. And some days you just don't think you have it, right? It's
yeah.
You're up and you're down and you're mad and you're sad and you're all over the place. But we're pushing through.
Yeah, you got it.
All you can do. And that's what we focus on. You know, like you said, take a minute, take a breather. We have had the foot on the gas since, I don't even know when. It's been before we opened. Yeah. We just have had the foot on the gas.
Yeah.
And this is a great break. It's also, you know.
Stressful.
It is, yeah.
Stressful.
It's not all.
Yeah, what are you learning?
Patience.
Yes, which is, as my wife was saying, not my forte. we're both competitive people and definitely intrinsically motivated from an athletic background, competitive perspective. And, you know, not knowing what the future may hold has required us to demonstrate and exercise that patience. But also it's allowed us some time to reflect. You know, personally, I say myself is, you know, we had, the captain said, we had that foot on the gas, you know, since we started this thing, and it has been go, go, go. So it's exercising that patience, you know, the frustration of not knowing what the future may look like, you know, with these guidelines and things that may come out and how that, I agree with you earlier, Wendy. It's not going to be just like, hey, you know, everybody can just reopen. This is going to be a gradual, stepwise approach. And we talk about it daily, you know, after discussions around COVID-19 and the impact it has had, you know, any and everywhere. But this is what we have to do to keep people safe and in order to, you know, make the turn to where we can see some of semblance of what it used to be, but that what it used to be is going to be different going forward.
Yeah. You mentioned something at the beginning of this call that I'd like to focus in on, which was that when you were kind of researching, when you were figuring out, you know, how you were going to build this, you were looking at social impact. That's a phrase that's really close to my heart. I mean, when I started my business, it was because I wanted to see the stories of businesses that were making a social impact be how they were marketing. Like, and so, I think that's really, really important. I'd love just to know, how do you guys look at social impact through the lens of your company? And, give me some examples of some ways that you're being conscious of that or incorporating that into what you do.
Well, for us, it's creating and creating, which we have done with Backyard Tap, and then as a social gathering location, but utilizing the platform and not just, you know, having the buzzwords of, you know, social impact or community involvement and things, but being about what you say and doing those types of things that are important as it relates to some type of, you know, paying it forward, as my grandmother would say. And so for us, it's, you know, we've had an opportunity and been blessed with some nonprofits that have approached us for some collaboration types of events. Grace Upon Grace, we were blessed to host their launch party back in November. And they're a local organization here in Northern Colorado founded by women who are inspired and want to pay it forward with providing those baby and feminine products that many families aren't able to provide for themselves. And, you know, that's hit home with both of us, you know, just from a perspective of, you know, having grown up, you know, with things, been blessed to have things, but been having times in your life when you're growing up without things and knowing what that means. You know, when my mom had to sacrifice certain things for herself in order to provide for me during that time of growing up when it was just us. And so that, along with, we did a mural project back in September with Clear Lighthouse, which is a nonprofit centered around promoting suicide prevention and youth mental health for our youth, as well as our first responders and you know, just others in general. And so those two programs, you know, have given us an opportunity to, from a nonprofit perspective, you know, utilize the space we have, the venue we have, and the platform we have to help pay it forward in some key areas where, I mean, we live in a, you know, we have first world problems here in the United States of America, where others, you know, have some real problems. And, you know, so let's, Catherine and I was, you know, how do we just continue to find ways to do things to be about it? Like, we were planning a health and fitness event coming up here in June, collaborating with Cycle Bar and Fort Collins. And both of us have exercise science backgrounds from our college years, and, you know, understanding the importance of both physical and mental health around things, and how physical activity, being a part of a person's life just on a general basis, you know, can help us in many different ways. So, you know, having a fitness fun event, you know, was something that we've been looking forward to for this summer, and collaborating about with so as well. So it's been great.
We also did something in October where we did a pink out. And, you know, breast cancer is something that has affected our families personally. And so we took the time to then donate money through our pink out directly to a local health system and their cancer center. So I think all of this is born in the fact that we've already been very involved in giving in a nonprofit way ever since we've been able to financially, and continue to do that, and felt like a business was a larger platform to do that on and to make more awareness. And that's really what it's born out of.
Totally. I mean, we have some good partners that we work with locally, some good community patrons that come and visit us, that come up with great ideas that we've added to our strategic plan for the year, that all centered around, you know, our location just being a platform and a hub for that intersection and that activity.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I've always looked at business as a tool to make an impact and to serve others. I got to ask you about your name, Backyard Tap. Tell me about your backyard growing up, and what, tell me about the roots of why you wanted to have some kind of connection between some kind of backyard experience, I'm guessing, in your upbringing to recreate that through this.
I mean, we are good Midwestern people. and the Midwesterners know that a backyard party is it. I mean, in the summer, you're always gathering in your backyard, and you're always having a bunch of people over, whether it's just people from your neighborhood, or it's your friends, or your family, or it's all of them. And the backyard was just where you went and relaxed and had a great time and felt comfortable. And that's what we wanted. I mean, we wanted a real comfortable, like, we wanted you to come and just feel like you're home and this is awesome and it feels great and you're relaxed. And that really was kind of the home to the name. I mean, we had an idea board with a gazillion names on it. And this one just felt right because it kind of brought us to what we were looking for in the beginning.
The storyboard of post-it notes on the wall, and working with a friend and a colleague who's a brand manager, and trying to just kind of decipher through and throw different things out there. And, you know, for us, it was staying committed to that vision. And like Catherine said, you know, being some basic, you know, fundamental Midwest folks, you know.
We're all family.
And just hang out.
Guessing that means you guys have had lots of if you're from the Midwest, you've probably had lots of backyard parties with beer and cornhole. So it's a good thing. Well, yeah, I was, I just met you like a couple weeks before this all happened, and I was looking forward to coming in. You gave me some little cards and I had them in my car. Yeah. I was like, man, we got to come in. And then this all happened. So I'll be looking forward to coming once you guys can open up.
Look forward to having you.
Yeah. In closing, what would just be some words of encouragement that you'd give to other businesses that are struggling right now, or maybe just in general times of crisis where business is just really, really hard? What would be some encouragement that you'd have?
I'll speak it, and let's have jump into two. Is right now it's I guess the church is saying, a walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I'm not a big, you know, super religious person or anything, but it holds true to that, is that we have to stay rooted in what our values are and what our mission is, as they would say, maybe in team sports or, you know, some type of big corporation thing, but you have to be rooted in what your values are and what your mission is, rely upon that, even though what's going on around you may seem very chaotic and stressed at this time. But, you know, you fall back on what those values are, fall back on what your network is, both at home, within your community, and understand that, you know, the saying you hear is that everybody is experiencing the same thing right now, and knowing that, you know, there will be something on the other side that we can all rise from, and obviously it'll make us better for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I mean, ultimately, it's it's take your time in your decisions. I think don't move hastily in any decision, because this thing is changing daily. And so I think as long as you can and have the ability to sit back and say, we can wait, we can hold off a little bit, we can go slow, you know, do that as much as you can. And rely on your other businesses, because we found, you know, all of us are kind of, as we've heard a lot, in this together. And quite honestly, small businesses really are. And we are doing what we can to kind of band together and be stronger because of that.
I think that's great. I think that's great encouragement and advice. So thank you guys so much for joining today. Where's the best way for people to get in touch with you guys and find out more information about Backyard Tap?
So you can reach out to us and find out different things, keep you updated via our social media handles on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. On Instagram and Twitter, it's @backyard_tap. On Facebook, it's @backyardtap. Our website, which is backyardtap.com. And then our physical location is come by when things change and have an opportunity. We're at 323 North Railroad Avenue, downtown Loveland, on the west side of the tracks. And, you know, definitely looking forward to the opportunity to welcome my friends back and meet new friends as things gradually reopen back up here.
Absolutely. Well, I encourage everybody to check them out. And thank you guys for what you're doing. And appreciate you taking time to be on the show.
Grateful.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis, and most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. Head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.